Blog Talk Radio.
All right, how you doing, Scotty?
I'm doing all right.
Jimmy, how you doing?
Right on, you two.
Adrian, how
hey,
you
hey.
Doing?
I'm good. How's everyone?
Groovy.
Doing healthy. Well.
All
at
right.
Least so far. At least so far, anyway. So,
we have folks in the board, and if you would like to join the conversation, push 1 on your keypad, and I will get you on. Scott, Jimmy, Adrian, take it away.
All right.
Quick question, real quick. Can I ask you guys a quick question real quick?
Sure.
Has nothing to really do with anything but a friend. Has anybody heard anything from Peggy? I haven't heard shit from Peggy in months. Enough said. I just want to make sure she's okay.
Yeah, I did write
no.
her a couple of weeks ago. I wrote her, and she wrote me back, and she's doing okay, and she's into something. I forgot what it was now.
Yeah.
All I care about.
And I said,
okay,
yeah, you missed it. Yeah, there you go.
Yes, she's okay, and I remember she contacted me back a ways back now, too, and she's involved with something with handicapped people, I think, is what it was. So, that's
cool.
She
was going to that. Yep, but I never heard another thing. I wish you the best, Peggy. You're an awesome person. Kudos.
Yep.
Best wishes, Peggy.
There you go.
I was looking at the shit with the pre-connection on this Pfizer stuff. This is crazy. I don't see that connection, but together, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, you're talking about Pfizer and Rory Gamble, the lawyers that they share, and being on the board of directors, and, you know, the possibility of maybe employees have to take a vaccine, which I do believe would be illegal. I don't know how they're going to work that out, but pretty interesting stuff because they don't force you to go get a flu shot either. So
I thought it was a little strange because I had to blow that up, right, to see what the date was on that article. That article is dated March of this year, but March all the same. It wasn't like it was this week.
No, I know.
Back when the Rona exploded.
Right.
Back in March.
But, you know, and I'm trying to see, I understand that these are the same lawyers and the board members, whatever. But, you know, I'm just trying to really see this connection of Pfizer and the UAW.
Right.
We pay for a law firm space in China. Is that right? It has a grand office space in China. Am I understanding that's what we pay for? Does Roy hire international specializes in solving debt? No, this was to pay for a grand office in China.
Wow.
And then it goes UAW has committed damn near every possible crime you can imagine against the membership, and they're still going.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm
at least they're consistent.
313,
yeah,
you're on.
Yeah, you got to give them credit there. They're building something.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello.
Go ahead, brother.
I'm at work, so I'm on mute myself.
Okay. Well, how are you feeling at work?
I'm fine. We're slow. Apparently, we're missing some parts, so I think we're going to be back up again tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, I know they canceled some production at Lake Orion Friday. I believe Friday and Saturday they canceled production at Lake Orion.
Well, I'm at Ford's truck plant, and they shut us down after lunch yesterday. And we weren't going to report back till this evening, but that's normal. But we're currently stopped right now. I don't know if that's a parts thing or if we got a mechanical issue.
Right. They're having that problem at all three right now, the big three. I can't speak for some of the other transplants, but it's parts availability, and they're still having problems with Mexico and Canada. So both sides of the borders were having problems come across the border with parts, and that's probably what's happening. It's parts driven, I'm sure. But other than that, anything new besides the?
I'm not sure if you heard they're gonna fire up.
What's that?
Being told that there's truck parts for Oshawa right now as we speak. I didn't realize Oshawa was going to come online that quick building the truck that you can't get the parts to build. Is that because it's at the lower pay wage? They don't have to pay health care over there? Come on, Rory, tell me how that, if they're going to open up another truck to build more trucks, but we can't get the plants over here building trucks because we can't get parts. What kind of glue are you sniffing, homie?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? You know, which brings me on, I pulled up four or five kind of touch base with on tonight, and that was one of them, was that this last week, I'm sure Adrian saw it too, that supposedly the Detroit 3 can't make enough automobiles and trucks. So,
yeah,
go figure that one
something
out. I'm thinking to myself, all these people that are in all these different states that are again in lockdown, people who have lost their jobs, and we can't make enough vehicles. Who's buying all these vehicles?
No, I was wondering the same thing.
It's you know, I mean, I went last week. Was it last week? Last Friday. The Friday before last. Gene went to Wisconsin, so it had been the Friday before last. I was at the dealership. I was getting my oil change and my enhancement stuff put in for the motor and stuff, and I walked out to have a stick and walk around the lot. And, you know, I could not find one heavy-duty truck of any flavor whatsoever out there. They had three Suburbans. You see, they had three Suburbans. They had all the trucks like Melissa makes down there in Fort Wayne, and Mike makes down there in Fort Wayne. They had all those, but the Suburbans, there was no Tahoes and no heavy-duty trucks whatsoever. And,
same layout.
Well, yeah, yeah. Randy Wise isn't a small Chevy dealership. I was looking at Ford.
Same way with Graf, Scott. I mean, they've got a couple 2500s there, but, man, if you ain't fast with the money, they're gone. There was two there last week, and I don't think they lasted 3 days. $85,000, so ironically, those were the Duramax diesels. What do they call that? Is it a High Country?
Yeah, that's a big dollar truck.
Yeah,
actually, the High Country. Yeah, the High Country will actually outprice the Denali. If you load them up equally, the High Country will end up costing more than the Denali. Go figure that one out.
Yeah. Let me get 989 on, Scotty. 989, you're
sure.
On. And I had to mute you, 313, because you unmuted yourself and it was loud. So I had to mute you. Go ahead.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there. Greetings to you rabble-rousers. How are you doing?
Greetings.
Good evening. The situation reminds me of something Dave Yetall warned in the 1990s, that General Motors was closing so many plants that they wouldn't be able to keep up with production needs. You know, it's sad that you know, that the UAW has not taken a stand to keep plants open is GM doesn't have any margin. That's why they've bargained these contracts with the UAW for mandatory overtime. The union used to fight that, you know, because when you got one plant or a couple plants working maximum overtime, it gives them the chance to cut out a shift or close another plant.
Right. And come in behind what you're saying, the thought process behind that is if you didn't work all this overtime, they either have to hire more people, create more jobs, or open another plant.
And the thing is, I think one of the best advertisements General Motors ever had was a plant with a big sign on it that said Chevy or whatever, you know, and it employed 6,000 or 8,000 people. That was a great advertisement for them, and they don't realize that. They've lost
right.
their presence in most of the United States.
Yeah, because Mary Barra a few years back had said that she wasn't worried about market share. It was just about profitability. Now she's worried about market share.
Yeah. All the leaders of General Motors have been very short-sighted. They didn't have a long-range game plan. You know, you look at what the Japanese did. They decided if they lost money long enough in, undercutting General Motors prices, they'd grab market share. And that's basically what Amazon's doing. They've got huge investors that'll invest money in them while they lose money year after year till they drive everybody else out of business. Yep. Then they're going to make huge profits. They'll be hugely profitable in probably this year and in the years to come because they've one person predicted that Amazon will put a third of all malls out of business.
Yep.
People need to think about that when they shop Amazon. What they're doing is putting their neighbors out of work, and they're making the richest SOB in the universe even richer.
Yep. I'm going to read that 100%. It's sad but true. People don't realize, you know, once you we understand it, it's called a monopoly.
Yeah.
Okay, it's creating a monopoly. That's what this is. And some of us that are old enough that on this show can remember Ma Bell.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's sad, and it's happening again. And people don't realize the more you do business, like what Paul says, the more you do business with Amazon and the big companies like this. You're eventually going to put somebody out of work.
Throw Walmart in there because they come up to Traverse City and our little towns up there where we have family-owned stores like Olson's and stuff like this. They come in like farm busters, beat their price, put them out of business. Now you pay more for that shit than you did when they were there. They raise their prices way up after they put the other mom and pies out of business. Don't forget that, people. They first came in giving you a deal, but then after the competition was gone, they gave you the shaft.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's laughable, this idea that if you get a Prime membership, you get free shipping. Well, you're paying for the shipping up front. You know, if you walked into a small business and had something that had a $10 price tag on it, then they said that'll be $11 because I'm charging a dollar for shipping. They, you know, people would go crazy, but they've bought into this lunacy that Prime membership means free shipping.
Right. You always pay. Nothing's free, folks. Well, very few things is free. Let's put it that way. Very few things is free. You're going to pay for something somewhere along the way.
Is there any more UAW leaders headed to jail? Does it look like it?
Not yet. It seems to be like a lull.
Yeah.
And, you know, we still haven't heard we still haven't heard nothing about from the Ford area yet. So we're waiting to see what's going to happen there.
Right? There's open investigations on,
I believe, on Jimmy Settles. Kareem, who's your acting vice president at the Ford department, Jill Kareem, he's under a, I believe that's a sexual charge,
yeah,
I think.
That's there.
It's, these are all alleged with Ford right now. This is alleged.
Yeah.
We can
excuse
speak about
me,
the other
ones.
Pat, I got a question. It says a how far back are they going with this alleged? Because I happen to know there were some children fathered from these alleged rapes, and that's pretty hard to do if there isn't some hanky-panky.
Yeah. Go ahead, Adrian.
Where did Kareem come from?
Saginaw.
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 Saginaw. What's in Saginaw?
What used to be called Saginaw Steering Gear.
What I'm trying to get to is it. Okay, this is what I'm trying to get to. He was under investigation before he became the VP over Ford.
Right.
Yeah.
He should never have become the VP of Ford.
Correct.
Knowing that he had allegedly had these charges pending.
Right. Well,
so
we don't have
really
any updates with UAW anymore.
He's really not under investigation for Ford. The only person that's under investigation for Ford is Jimmy Settles, allegedly.
Mm. Right.
That's who came from Ford. Kareem
right.
did not.
Right. Kareem started out with the Delphi's, and then it became the steering gear, and he had gray iron up there, and then he went from there. He came down to be the Region 1 director, 1D director.
Right.
He used to be 1C. He was a director at 1D for what, 5 years, 6 years, something like that.
Before that, he was in Grand Rapids. He went
yes.
to Saginaw to Grand Rapids. I think he was assistant director in Grand Rapids, which was Region 1D at the time.
And then
he should
resolved.
Never have been. He should
right.
never have been installed as a Ford VP. He hasn't a clue about Ford.
I agree
right.
with that. He ain't got a clue about GM.
Well.
Well, no, I don't think Norwood Jewell had a clue about Chrysler either. They moved these guys around for some reason.
But he wasn't moved like Estrada. Estrada was, she was GM VP. She was moved from a GM VP to a Chrysler VP. This man was not a VP.
No.
Right.
So he don't really have a clue.
Right.
It was her now, from what I'm understanding, they just added more to her, because isn't she not both VP for both now? Isn't she like assistant VP to Terry? Because she's been
know.
On the GM negotiations. I didn't understand that shit at all.
Oh. I don't know about that.
I didn't know about that either.
She's out in the GM contract. Why?
Oh,
good
on
question.
The last contract?
This the one that they were just went on strike for. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is she assistant VP for GM for FCA wearing two hats? I don't know about this. I know she's got two knee pads, one for each knee, but I don't know anything else other than that. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. It didn't make those. I should bargain on both contracts. We've never done that. We've done so much shit we've never done. We're doing
yeah.
it again.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
the one party
not,
go ahead.
No, I was just saying something's not right here.
Well,
I mean, we know that, but
system, they rewrite the rules anytime they want to.
I'm not going to say they rewrite the rules, Paul. It's just they don't adhere to their own damn rules. They make us adhere to them. Hear me now.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, I really don't understand because it seems like they're getting away with not adhering to the Constitution. But I'm not quite sure how to tie that in. I'm quite sure it can be with a little thought put behind it.
Well, federal law doesn't mean anything to these people. What difference does the UAW Constitution mean? They're above all that.
Oh, that's only because we allow them to be above all of that, because they're not. You know, we, as the members, have to get out of the mindset of they can do what they want because they're the leaders. They're not the leaders. They are there to do for the members. They are like our mouthpiece. They are not leaders. They are representatives. And as long as the members sit back and really do nothing, because even when you try to use the Constitution to get things done, such as Article 8, 30, 31, you can't get those through. Why? You can get them through. All you have to do as a membership, put it in writing and submit it. But you got to have a quorum. This is what we want, and we want it now. No local president, no unit president can stop you. You own the UAW. And this is the one thought that the membership don't keep in mind, is what I see, what I read from comments that they make. You are the owner of the UAW. It says United Auto Workers, Agriculture, and Aerospace.
Thank you, sister.
That is what it says. It doesn't say anybody else. Auto workers, agriculture, aerospace. We own that. Start acting like owners.
Well, it's hard to get enough.
But you can't do it individually.
It's hard to get enough people to a union meeting. You know, I had 3 terms on the board at the Metal Center. There was over 3,000 people working in that plant. It was hard to get more than a couple dozen people to come to a union meeting who weren't appointed. So we were constantly being undermined. The only meeting we ever had that where we got enough people to outvote the bureaucracy was when Jim's case, his discharge, came before our board. We had a packed house, but we wrote a bunch of handbills to get people to the meeting. You know, people are just apathetic. And
yes.
Working lots of overtime makes you apathetic. That's one of the reasons union and management both like overtime.
That's
people
correct.
People that are exhausted, that are working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, they're not going to go to a union meeting.
That's true.
And
that's intentional.
Management, you know, what people don't understand is, like Dave Yetaw said, that the union was playing checkers and management was playing chess. Management
that's
had
correct.
All this stuff thought out very well. They know, they understand the workforce. The workforce doesn't understand management.
That's correct. That's correct.
I mean, no. To get somebody to turn down making $300 or $400 on a Sunday to come to a union meeting is pretty hard.
I did it on a regular basis, but okay.
Yeah, but the average.
But you know, I'm just one of many.
Yeah.
Sometimes some things are more important than money.
Oh sure. Well, to
you
most
can get.
People,
you're
going
to be able to get that money, but you can't get it if you don't make some sacrifices to protect yourself.
That's true.
Okay.
I don't know how many people I talked to that wouldn't go to a union meeting because Sunday was their church day.
Oh, I hadn't heard that too.
But if they had a chance to make $300 or $400 or $500 working a Sunday,
forget church. They'd be right
there
at work.
Forget about their Christian convictions. You know?
I heard that argument before.
Me, plenty of times I heard it.
Yes, I've heard it. I've heard it so many times that it almost made me puke. I stood up in a meeting one time and said to them, so you are telling me that in these modern days and times, your church only has one service. You're also telling me that you're so evil and you have so much devilishness in you that God won't forgive you one Sunday for a couple of hours to be at a union meeting. I mean, that's what you're saying.
Yep, that's exactly it. Well, they tell what their priorities are by their actions.
Right. And that's what, you know, your priorities. What are your priorities? See, my priority on Sunday is my family.
Right.
We have church at home. So, it's like every Sunday, when my children are here, they already know, you know mom's going on the phone at 7 o'clock. Well, we don't want to be there anyway because it's dark as hell out there at that house. Or we want to get back home. So this is the only reason why I'm able to call the podcast on Sunday night. But then again, no, because if my children were here, they would say, no, this is something that mom wants to do. It's something that mom needs to do. Maybe it's something she needs to enlighten people on today. So we'll go over in this room and let mom have her time. Even when my children were young, well, it was basically my one granddaughter. I took her with me to the union meetings so that she could learn, you know, something about the union, and she could see how people reacted towards one another. You know, it's just life. That's what I did. And there were so many others when I was attending my union meetings that were bringing their children. So it's some that do that because they know that it's important. And it's real important when you have a chairman that may be trying to get something through, and he'll make sure that all his appointees are there, or her, him or her. And, you know, they're supporters. And then try to get something through. But you don't have a quorum still. So, you know, it's some thoughts. But what I'm trying to say to the membership is this. Okay, so you can do a petition. You can write a petition. And you could have the membership sign it and then present it at the union meeting. Anybody ever think about that?
I did that in the plane with labor relations. I'll tell you what, funny thing about it is they didn't want to deal with it, but after I stood labor relations, turned over and was waiting for my copy, right when she went to hand me my copy, I got shoved away and they handed it right to Deadwood. He took it over right then and there. But I handed that son of a bitch in. Right, lady, you can do it both ways, but in this instance, it was over a supervisor, so I felt I had to go to labor, and they wouldn't do nothing about it.
Okay.
So, when I went up to labor, Paul remembers that or not, but it was over actually a skilled trades lady I was fighting a battle, helping with, kind of saying. Oh.
we lost Paul, so Paul, if you're listening, if you call back, I'll put you right back on. I don't know how that happened.
But. Wow.
That's fine. But I don't understand your start, Fortress. Uncle Dick used to, I've often wondered why your stock is so much different than the other two, and then Uncle Dick tried to new type of stocks there. And I'm sure
why Ford stock is low?
Yeah, he told me there was two type of stocks. He goes, there's a stock and then there's the Ford family stock. But he says, we can't get that one, and that's the good one.
Oh, yeah. No. You can't get that stock. God. See, now you even caught
preferred.
Me off guard about these stocks. Stocks have different values, okay? It's the
yes,
same
preferred.
Thing. Believe me, yeah, it's preferred stock, but you have a A and a B.
Okay.
GM also has it, whether you know
yep.
it or not. and you can't get that stock either, that preferred. So, and this is kind of what pissed me off about GM when they did that bankruptcy. Because
oh,
my brother-in-law.
Of GM real quick.
Excuse me?
Speaking of GM real quick, did you hear in stocks? That Mary Barra sold $7.5 million worth of stock. I guess
really?
Last week.
No, I missed
I
that.
I come to find out. Yeah, it's just a little blurb. I guess I have to look it up. But it was the common stock. It wasn't her
uh-huh.
preferred stock. So
it was the
anyway,
common
I'm sorry.
Stock.
Yeah, like what
that's
you and I
pretty,
sold by.
Yeah, but see, that's important to watch that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Why is she selling off that common stock? That means
right.
there's something getting ready to go down.
That's what we used to think.
Yeah. If she's selling off common stock, that stock is getting ready to go down if it hasn't already. Because I haven't been paying any attention to the stock market.
Yeah, I don't know. We were talking about that. Just today.
Yeah.
I didn't hear nothing about it.
Those are the types of things that you have to watch out for. When you hear that, oh yeah, look, start watching that stock daily.
Yeah. Means the defecation is about to hit the rotary aspirator.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better known as colon perforation.
Something like that. I don't know. There's so much stuff
yeah,
going on right now.
See, it's a reason that Ford won't let its stock, it won't let its stock climb. There's a reason for that. I haven't quite figured it out yet. But that stock hasn't been at $20, and I can't tell you how long. The last stock split when they split off of Vistia. It wasn't too long after that. That stock plummeted. And I think the highest that I can remember it hitting was $17 or $18.
Yep.
And it ain't
and
been
now
a
it's
day.
Like it's eight.
Why did Lordstown Motors property need another tax break? Can you tell me that? That should be treason. How many times do you give tax breaks to the same damn property? I mean, GM got how many years tax break, and that was paid up front, and the union gave up so much up front, that was paid up front, and then they got their shaft, and Then Lordstown Motor was created. Now they're actually still GM, and now they're getting another tax break. Did you see that shit?
Well, it's right here because Lordstown Motors promised to create 1,570 full-time jobs over the next 15 years.
Okay.
In exchange for a tax credit for the state of Ohio. They approved that tax credit Monday morning. So
bad.
So
bad deal.
Yeah, they got they're going to receive a 1.637% tax credit starting January 1st, and then they have until December 31st, 2025 to meet the promises presented at the Ohio Tax Credit Authority. Said that their jobs would create and generate over $91 million in payroll. I mean,
it's smart on GM's part.
Well,
yeah, it's a smart move on their part, but for the state, it may not be a smart move. It definitely is not a smart move for the taxpayers.
Right.
So, you know. But these are the people that you elect in there, and, you know, they're for corporations.
Yep. Yep.
You know, what cracks me up is that corporation is the one that's paying their salary. It's not. It's the taxpayer, the people that are voting, putting it, they're the ones that are screwing themselves, but... You can't tell them that. Like I said, you can't tell them that, you know. Just like we can't get them to read the contract. Don't listen to the bullshit. When his lips are moving, they're lying. Look at it in black and white. When you see those lips moving, they're getting that snow job, hand job, screw job, whatever you want to call it. Read it in black and white, kind of set in stone then. And all these blank paragraphs in our GM contract, Scott's starting to feel the reams and the woes of that. All of a sudden, they're getting shit. Oh, this isn't the contract. You found it, didn't you, Scott?
Yep, yep. Speaking of jobs, Allied Security, which is the security services that General Motors uses, they're cutting 600-plus jobs at General Motors. And they talked to the vice president of their labor relations for Allied Universal, said that he told the Michigan Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity of the pending layoffs, and 150 of those are going to be in Flint, and they'll be effective February 1st because they've lost their contract. But he said that many, if not all, employees will be able to continue their jobs without interruption with the incoming replacement contractor. Well, it's kind of hard to say that unless you've already made a deal with that person who's got the next contract.
True.
You know, a lot of people, they don't want to have what they call carryover employees. They'll keep a few key people, but they usually hire their own. But,
they'll keep a few.
Yeah.
You know, usually they'll keep a few because they don't know the, you know, the procedures and policies, practices type thing. So they'll keep a few, you know, so they can acclimate themselves into the way the security works. That's how all of the contractors basically work inside the facilities and out, you know, around the facilities.
Right.
And then when they feel that, they've got a solid contract and they're running okay, then they'll get rid of these other people if they can.
Right.
It's kind of like how we watched contractors, at least I did. They contracted out our material handling department.
Right.
And, you know, we had some of our people retire, and then they went and worked for the contractor.
Right.
And
right.
But the contractor had more of their people than they had the people that knew what they were doing. And like I said, they were destroying everything. And they ended up actually losing their contract. And went back to, this is a Ford Motor Company employee job. No contractor.
Yeah, GM calls that per diem. They call that per diem. I don't know how many supervisors at Fab quit and retired, and next thing you know, a month later, they're back saying they're making more money than they were before, plus their pension. I mean, I ended up with some of your supervisors over there, Scott. One was named Bonnie something. They called her the Hawaiian Bonnie, little short lady, but shit, she had three houses on islands over there and the two beautiful places in Alaska. But I'll tell you what, you did it her way or you pay. Just, I'll leave it at that. They called it the Lion Hawaiian for a reason. I found out why once.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's, we know this automotive industry runs around money. And,
yeah.
And if we go back and we listen to the wise old words of the late Dick Dangin, he told us many times on the show how they orchestrate this money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny,
yep,
because this last week they were talking about there aren't enough new cars, the main U.S. automotive lender says. Lender says this. And I went back to this article, and it's Ally Financial, who's the largest U.S. auto lender. Okay. And he's saying that the car makers should get busy. He says they need to ramp up the output of new models, but not enough supply. And what this guy is saying is factories have to get back to work. He says, noting that he's been in discussions with Rick Hendrick, of Hendrick Automotive Group, which has 95 dealerships locations across the country. He says, when I talk to stores directly, their biggest challenge is lack of new car inventory. He says, and the factories aren't producing enough.
Mm.
He says, the automakers have been stretched thin by pandemic-related absenteeism, distancing protocol, which I'm going to call bullshit in the first two, quarantines,
okay.
I'll call bullshit on that one too,
mm-hmm,
and supply chain constraints. Okay, he said, combined with the 2-month shutdown for the COVID-19. Okay, let's go back and let's go back just a few months, and we'll think, gee, maybe there was a strike involved too, right?
I was just going to say, do you remember the bullshit that this guy said at Hendrick's? You're talking about that dealership chain. They blamed everything that their mechanics were bitching about us, saying they shouldn't support any union because of how they couldn't get parts while we were on strike. Somebody might remember some of that. I remember it very clearly because, Mr. Hendricks, I do watch a lot of NASCAR. Jimmy Johnson, his driver, was one of my favorites. That being said, I don't support that kind of nonsense with your employees, and I wrote a letter to him letting him know. But, yeah,
and
I do remember.
And we talked about that in the show, and I told you the people's name, and I told you who the mechanic was, and
yep.
Hendrick couldn't give two shits about what the UAW thought at the time.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying, the guy who's saying that we need to get back to work and blah, 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 is the guy who is the chief at the financial arm of this whole thing.
I understand
just,
that.
You know,
that all sounds great, but we're in the middle of a pandemic. My brothers and sisters in there are flipping dying. Doesn't anybody else but these people on this phone understand that? Where the hell
okay,
is your government? No, really,
so hang
Scott.
On. Well, wait a minute. I mean, where's our government? Well, where's our union? Okay,
we don't
where's Corey at?
Appointed,
right.
Corrupt. We got an appointed, corrupt felon system proof. What haven't they done against their membership? I mean, they committed fraud, theft, you name it. They've done it.
Right, right. And I told Don that I was going to tell a tale tonight, and I'm going to tell my tale right now. So last Monday, I sat down. I was waiting for some parts
So I took an extended break. I sat down for 25, maybe 30 minutes. I took my time eating my breakfast. I had a couple sandwiches. I had some milk. I had some grapes. I had an apple. You know, I'm drinking my coffee. Okay, so when you're eating, and I'm sitting at this picnic table, it's a 6-foot picnic table, it's a short picnic table, and there's somebody sitting kitty corner across from me. So I'm basically on one corner, and he's on the other corner. And, you know, between our stuff and our laptop and stuff, I'm going to say we're about 4 feet apart, okay? I'm eating my stuff. I have my mask off. He has his mask on. He takes his mask down, pulls it down so he can take a drink of his coffee, puts it back up. We're kind of talking back and forth a little bit. He's busy on his laptop. He's with engineering. He'll take his mask down, take another drink of coffee, and I'm continually eating my stuff and doing what I'm doing. You know, when I get done, I do put my mask back on. I come in the next day, and an individual in that area that is right next to my department tells me, "Was you sat at the picnic table with the guy with the laptop yesterday?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, did you have your mask on?" I says, "No." I said, "I had it off because I was eating my breakfast." I says, "Right there at break time." I said, "So I was eating my breakfast and stuff and drinking my coffee." I said, "And as soon as I was done eating," I said, "I put my mask back on." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because he is out right now." And he found out when he went home Monday that a family member has COVID-19. Oh, great. So Wednesday comes along, and I start asking some questions, and I don't get no answers. Thursday goes by. Friday goes by, and I'm concerned now because I haven't heard anything except that another member of management from the engineering department come down Friday afternoon about 2:00, and Friday morning I already went to my supervisor, my foreman. I give him the individual's name. I went on my own, found out what the individual's name, told him I had some concerns. My foreman was almost Johnny on his spot. He started finding out as much information as he could. And his boss, my general supervisor, blew the whole thing off. He took charge of the situation and blew the whole thing off. So about 2:00, another member from management come down, and asked, he says, "Were you the person who was sitting at the picnic table?" I said, "Yeah, why?" He said, "Because Wednesday afternoon, that individual tested positive for COVID-19. He says, "I'm down here to find your supervisor to tell him that you were the person." I said, "So is this the contact tracing thing?" He goes, "No." He says, "I'm just letting you know that." He says, "Because if I remember right," he says, "you were down here," he said, "I think you were eating while he was there at the table," and he said, "he is positive, and he is sick." He said, I've talked to him. He said, "He's sick." And I said, "Great." So my boss makes a couple phone calls, and I end up having to call medical myself. I call medical. They ask me some questions over the phone, and I'm talking to Nurse Cratchit. And she says, "You're fine. Go back to work." That's what I was told.
Wow.
I told my foreman what was said, and he said, "No." I got a hold of my committee man. He said, "No." I said, "Yes." So I came in Saturday morning. When I come in to get my hand sanitizer and my fresh mask and answer my questions, I answer yes to one of the questions. And everybody's eyes got real big. "Which one?" I said, "The one where I've been around somebody who's tested positive within the last 14 days. Now I can't go in the plant. I have to turn around, exit out the exit door. I have to," and they give fill out a piece of paper, and they write my name and a GMI number down. "I have to get back in my vehicle, drive around to the front of the plant, and I have to go to medical." I go to medical, and I tell them what's going on,
And I told him I talked to somebody from medical yesterday. And the nurse said, well, what did they say? They said, I'm fine to go back to work. Well, then you're fine to go back to work. That conversation was over. Conversation was over.
Oh, my God.
So yesterday I left work early, and I drove all the way up to Frankenmuth because it's the only place I could get an appointment tomorrow to get myself a test. So I did the big nasal swab test, you know, the giant Q-tip up the nose. So hopefully I'll have the results tomorrow, and maybe no later than Tuesday. I feel fine, but I'm just saying. So I know how our union feels about this. I know how management feels about it now. Okay? So
why do you think I've been bitching about how OSHA and your health department and everybody else says it's all right? It's all right for Chrysler, FCA, Ford, and GM. They'll do their own policing, their own monitoring, their own reporting. That's what I'm saying. You know, what do you call it, a box and a chicken coop? And it's by myself.
Well, they say that they're following the CDC guidelines. That's their protocol. And that's not the protocol, because the protocol is if I'm within proximity of somebody and I don't have a facial covering on for more than 15 minutes, well, as soon as I find that out, I'm supposed to be tested and quarantined myself for at least 3 days until I get test results back.
Exactly.
That's not happening. And when you talk to more and more people just around my facility, it seems to be that the protocol changes not only from shift to shift, but from area to area and how they deal with this. So we'll see what happens. My committee member was supposed to
know, or if you're in the need to know. Because that's what it's sounding like. I hate to say it. If you're in the need to know, why do you think there's how many management are in the Buffton plant? Are there a lot of management in there, Scott?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people don't understand this. If you was to take and look at the numbers at General Motors, engineer and management outnumber us almost 3-1, I bet.
That's what I'm trying to say. But those are, most of them are IEs, industrial engineers, or at least they were in my end of the house. They were subcontracted, glorified, wannabe, whatever, retired,
right.
Whatever, like Adrian
right.
said. But there was more of them than there was us. And we're still making these great profits, paying for all them a-holes, too. Think about those people. They've been stealing and lying so much. I mean, it's pathetic. But you're right, there is no set procedure. But if this was supposed to be a federal or a state, it should be like looking in the mirror. Is it not?
Yeah.
I got a question for you, Scott.
Sure.
Do you have any documentation where you've been to medical the 2 times?
Well, there was the first time that my foreman informed me to call. So I don't have no documentation on that, but I do have, I did take a picture of my paperwork, that I was given, at my initial, entrance into the building, and then the nurse who signed that, I did take a picture of that to cover myself.
Okay.
I did write down who I talked to and at what times. I documented this whole thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, I try to cover myself a little bit.
Okay.
My foreman, I got to give him kudos. I really do. I think it was because him and his whole family had this.
Okay.
His youngest teenage daughter was almost a hospital recipient, not two, but almost 3 times. They actually went and got some kind of an oxygen monitor. And she got really low, and the doctor told her that if she gets at this threshold and stays there, you call me on your way to the hospital. And it was bad. He lost almost 50 pounds when he had it. He got the diarrhea and the aches, and he said he didn't want to eat nothing. And but I mean, just I'm not saying, but he was more understanding, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. He was a little more understanding on it, so he understood. And when I told him what I was told, he could not believe it. He just couldn't. And I looked at him. I said,
it's either Carrie or somebody else. But 734, you're on.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi. I so can relate to that story that he just told because that's going on in my plant all the time. People post it on our page all the time. Matter of fact, I just seen recently where somebody said they were, somebody had tested positive and they were waiting on a medical pass on their line because they were exposed to that person for over an hour.
Wow.
That is happening in most of these plants. It's a damn shame.
Man.
Yep. So, it's, and at one point this year, was it this year earlier? Yeah, there was a COVID case, and the company was basically having the union doing the footprint tracking of this person, and they all had to be quarantined.
At one point,
had most of our union office out on quarantine.
Wow.
And I couldn't figure out why our union was doing the footprinting. Does that make any sense? Because to me, that don't make sense for them to go out on the floor and flip. You know, I think this is when it first just started out. Does it make sense for the union to have to go out and do the footprinting if there's a sick individual?
That's not their job.
No.
What's that, Jim?
Is she talking into the phone? She comes real strong and then Craig gets real weak. I can't even hear her at times. I was just talking into the phone results.
Can you hear me now? I have my mask. I'm at work. I came out. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit. I can understand you. What she's saying, Jim, is that the union officials were out doing the contact tracing.
Yeah.
Instead of management.
Right. So,
it should have been health and safety.
It should have
been health and safety, salary side as well as the UAW.
Amen, sister.
It should have been both of them. Correct.
Yes, it should.
But you can't, in big facilities like this, so where they have the bathroom situated, I don't care if it's one person just on a line. It's not just you can't put the people that are sick because those people also travel to bathrooms, to break rooms. I mean, you're not going to be able to footprint just that one person. I don't care what they say. It's just not going to happen to what they expose other people to. Because there's oodles of people that use the same bathrooms that person was just in or is in, or a break room.
Right.
But as Scott has stated, there is a time limit. There's a minimum time. Or if you're around somebody that's tested positive for 15 minutes. So it is possible. It is possible to do a tracing.
But you don't know where exactly those people have traveled from. Because people that come in and say, we've even seen this, where somebody's come in and they get a phone call from home, and the person they got a phone call got a positive test. So that person just worked half the day, been all over the bathrooms and break rooms.
Yeah. Call when you want on, just push one, I'll get you right on.
And I don't know about other people's plants, but I know this plant's got a whole cow of a lot of things.
Scotty,
and
wake
then
up.
Then talk about the team leaders that have to go job to job sometimes, or the relief people when we do relief, which we hardly ever do anymore. We do a mass relief most of the time now. Now, even the team leaders, they're going from job to job, moving around these lines.
And you have one individual who's touching multiple surfaces that other people have touched.
Exactly. Because we've had that happen, too, where a team leader got exposed on one of their jobs, and he was having a hard time getting off to be quarantined from that person that was positive.
Wow.
Yeah. Because the company was basically telling him, oh, no, just like that, you can come to work, you know, you can come to work. Oh, okay. Now, he just was right on a guy's job that tested positive. So now he's scared for his whole family.
Sure. That's what I told management. I'm not worried about me getting sick. I said, don't want to get sick? No. Does it scare me? Not really. I said, but what I am concerned about is my family I have to worry about at home. I said, that's what
right.
I have to worry about. And then the upper management fellow that has the audacity to look at me and said, well, why did you go get tested if you don't have any symptoms? And I had a coworker. I was getting ready to level off on him. I had a coworker look at me and put his hand up, like, stop. He said, may I? I said, by all means. He said, because he could be asymptomatic.
Mm-hmm.
He said, mm-hmm. We're in a close group of people back here. We're in a close area back here. He says, we're concerned about him. We're just as concerned for him as he is for himself. And manager doesn't seem to get that. At least that one didn't, anyway.
They get it.
Yeah, they got it. You're right.
They get it. But they'll do whatever they have to do to make sure their bodies are there.
Right.
Well,
they're going to shut down the department.
All them bodies are legacy workers, man. They get rid of your ass and the rest of the people around you, man. They're going to save a whole lot of cash.
Yeah.
Well, here's a whole other thing too. You got, they've done some orientation and some hiring over here. Now, you got people in orientation in these big groups. What about that?
Wow.
What? They might not even know they're positive. And you're going to keep putting a new group out on the floor. Do you see what
right.
I'm saying?
Sure.
And then we can just break that down one more time. And you can do a mass orientation, but you can't have a union meeting.
This is kind of like a science.
It's a science project.
Exactly. Okay, so let's go back to high school biology 101. Okay, so we're gonna do this test, right? We're gonna have a controlled atmosphere test. This is what's gonna happen. This is what they have. This is all the parts of the test. Remember, always in your little test, there's one little spot. There's one word that you always have to account for. It's called a variable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this variable is what you just explained to me is I have 100 people that are going through orientation. They've all been tested, but we don't know who they've been around with the last 7 days. They may be asymptomatic, or they may not have shown any signs and know that they are ill yet. But I bring them into the plant at 100 people, they go through orientation for the day or two or whatever, they go out on the floor, and all of a sudden somebody says they're sick. Now I have to try to figure out the 100 people that was in that group. Okay, and this is where the variable gets wild on you very quickly, because now I have 100 people that could test who could possibly be positive because they're in the same room with this individual, and I just spread these 100 people out all over. Now, instead of looking at 100 people, I may be having to try to follow 700 people.
Now, we're smart enough to figure this out, right? We're smart enough to figure this out.
So is management, like Adrian said. They don't want to shut nothing down. They know how serious this could be.
Dollars.
You know.
Dollars.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yep.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Everything evolves around the dollar sign. Everything.
Shep. Shep is probably the one that's probably come out in the forefront of my mind, who are people who are have not only petitioned their management, their local union, but they have petitioned to the international union to get involved in this. They have people who are dying there in that plant, and they are wanting some action. And our president of the UAW is silent.
Wow.
We can talk about elections, about the president to be. We can talk about this. We can talk about that. But we sure ain't going to talk about them people with COVID down there. Wow. You know what? I could give a flying F about whoever the president is. And yeah, we better remember the veterans. That is important. But anything else? Nothing else is more important than your membership. Nothing.
Yep.
Wow. I'm still watching Shep because I think something else is going to happen there because they just had two more people pass away this last week, if I remember right.
Yeah, I remember posting that article, that news article.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for sharing that. I think I shared it from
you.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted to let you know also, if you haven't noticed, I do not post any articles on the weekend. Okay, that's my time off.
Gotcha.
I will not read a newspaper. I don't even read it just for me. I don't touch newspapers on Saturday or Sunday.
Right.
So if you hadn't noticed, I'm letting you know. Because I had started to put something on my wall so that everybody would know. But I'm too busy trying to post some positive, something positive for everybody to see. I try not to do any political stuff either on weekends.
Right. Right.
Mm-mm. No, I got some stuff that really upset about.
Put your knickers in a knot, huh?
Yeah. but I will not. I just said I am not going to deal with that on weekends.
There you go.
Yeah. I need a break.
Now I can ask all of you guys. See if you can remember. Now we gotta go back to the 80s on this, okay? So it's going back a ways. Do you remember this lady that had all this high intense energy, and she kind of yelled when she talked to you, and she had extremely short hair, and it was platinum blonde, silver. Her name was Susan Powder or Susan Crowder. And I loved her saying. Her famous saying was, "Stop the insanity."
Yes, I remember that. Stop the insanity.
Thank you. Stop the insanity. Because she told people about, you know, we're getting fat and we're dying because of everything we're eating wrong. You know, she was a little bit ahead of her time. But stop the insanity. That's where we're at. Stop this insanity.
Yes.
I don't know. I look at it this way. I think that the UAW, Corey Gramble, if you're listening to this tomorrow morning, listen up, bub. This is to you, man. You're not helping yourself one bit by not coming out there and helping the membership right now. Not one bit. It's time to put the big boy pants on and step up and tell the auto manufacturers we're going to deal with this, and we're going to deal with this in a professional sense
And we got to do whatever's right for my membership.
He just got new appointed, Jack. He's going to police it, man. Didn't you read it? Man, that's what I'm trying to tell you. He just made a commitment. They're going to do the policing of this shit. And that's what I'm all pissed off about.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Adrian's going to dig into that and find out what Brother Gamble's doing with the Pfizer connection.
That was a strange one there. Like I said, wow, since this stuff came up in March. But anyway. I'm going to be looking at that. One of the things, too, that I'm really concerned about. Now, there was a letter put out, and it said that you could have Zoom meetings or Microsoft Teams meetings. Those are not those are not happening either, huh?
No. You're right.
You know, you can't have union meetings because Rory said in the letter that no meetings will take place until about April 2021.
Right.
So you could have Zoom meetings and you could, or Microsoft Teams. So I want to know, well, why isn't that happening?
Good question.
I mean, I kind of know why, but, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Boy, I tell you. It's, excuse me, you all, I'm going to say it. This is a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's like, what can we do as a membership to come together? This better stop. I don't want to hear no complaining. Please. Ideas to come together to make it better. I don't care what Joe Blow is doing to Susie Q. I don't care about that.
Right.
I don't care about the Democrats and the Republicans. I don't care about that. We have to try and make it better for the membership, ourselves. What can we do? We need to shoot those ideas out.
Right.
Like I said before, we got all these different groups springing up, and everybody's trying to keep stuff close to their vest because you're not a part of their caucus.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like, keep on.
Yeah.
You're going to end up in worse shape than what you already are in. And this,
right.
If you think I'm going to give you $50 to be a member in your caucus, you know what you could do. Because I'm not giving you a dime. Because I don't
United
donate money. I don't donate
United
money like that. So I'm just, I know people are listening. So if you want to unfriend me, go ahead. Because you ain't getting a dime out of me.
Let me get Paul on.
But we need to come together.
Paul, you're
and
on.
And shoot out ideas that we can use.
I had to get off the show for about a half hour. I got a phone call. But I'm wondering, are the feds still planning on wrapping up their investigation in December?
He said he got until December 31st because,
okay. You
know, he probably won't have no job.
Yeah. Because, you know, one of the things that, I think it was at the 2006 Constitutional Convention when I went there, Gary Wachowicz is local.
Local
put a 600. Thing in the resolution book that said the UAW had bastardized the appeals process. You know, I'm wondering if there's some way we get the feds to look at the appeals process. It's supposed to be there to as a way of handling membership grievances, so to speak, but all they do is draw the process out till it's moot. Like if you appeal an election, by the time you go through the whole appeals process, it's time for the next election. You know, there should be some time limits on these leaders that they have to give a reply within a certain amount of time.
Paul, I just read somewhere that blew my mind that they have not got an appeal to the arbitration center since 2006. Yeah. My God, are they being able to squash that shit that quick? I mean, look how they did mine. I had three hearings, the region. They wanted to, I mean, they were even trying to figure out. We got more people to the union hall than they could get for a beer party.
Yeah.
The one president even told me, so I put kegs in the parking lot and only got 200. You got four.
Yeah. Well, what I mean is, what I'm saying is that this stuff needs to be expedited. You know, they put strict time limits on the member, you know, of how quick you have to write your appeal, but they'll sit on it for months. And this is undermining the process. I mean, you can't get any justice internally if they just sit on it.
You're right, Paul. I know somebody right now that's walking down the same path as me, and he goes, "This isn't right, dude." He goes, "You weren't lying. I had 30 days to reply. I replied. They got 1 year to answer me back." Yeah. Now, come on.
Well, they don't even have any time limits as far as I know.
On some things they do.
But, I mean, it takes so long.
Well, you remember the umpire, he asked them point blank, why did it take so long to get this to me? It should have took no more than 2.5 years.
Yeah. I mean, basically, they're real good at just ignoring you. And right now,
that's,
you know, what's that?
That's just it. If it doesn't give them any gratification, they're not worried about it.
Yeah.
If it's for you, it can wait.
Well, it's just like
it'll go away.
What you're saying, you know, Rory Gamble hasn't said anything about this COVID. UAW's job anymore isn't to represent the member. It's to facilitate management. You know, you look at the contract and what they've obligated themselves to is working toward continuous improvement and helping management improve quality and productivity. There's not much room in there for them to represent you when they've obligated themselves to helping management.
It's up to you, the member, to make them do for you. All right?
Well, what
you
I
know,
think
just keep talking about how they're with. We understand that they're with. They do things for the company.
Yeah.
But we, and I keep saying this, they represent you. They work for you.
Yeah. Well, I understand
you
that.
You are the employer of them.
But the thing is, if the process is toothless, if they don't have to respond to you in a certain amount of time. You know, like with Jim, basically, I think they were just waiting for him to die.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I kind of agree with you that the process is toothless because I agree with Adrian 100%. We are the employer. They are the employee. And if we had anybody working for us in our corporation that was this inept at doing their job, we would have fired them a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dick Dangin talked about a thing called the Peter Principle. And I think that Peter Principle has switched over from General Motors. I think it's went over to the International.
Sure.
And what it is you take somebody to the highest level of incompetency, and then you promote them. That's the Peter Principle.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we've got. Yes.
That's why General Motors and the UAW are practically dead.
Is this not why not want us to get copies of our Constitution? Well, it's damn near impossible to get a copy of the Constitution anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right, because there's no penalty on them if they don't give you one. I mean, what was the penalty on the UAW, Jim, when they didn't respond? You got unanimous support at a union meeting. Went to the local, you got unanimous support. We took it to international, they sat on it. I went to the convention and wrote 1,000 handbills about your case. We got a little movement on it. And then it got squashed again. You know, there was no teeth in the process, and this is something that should be brought to the attention of the feds. We need a process that actually works. I mean, you just write an appeal, and they practically laugh at you.
I know.
Yep.
I showed them where the second time they kiboshed my grievance was to get one of their Hollywood strippers from Vegas a job. And I had the date, the name, and everything. It's the same day they terminated the grievance. But they didn't give a shit.
Mm. Right. Wow.
And we know that, you know, when they squash your grievances for other people, you know that they're supposed to come to you before they do that. They're supposed to get permission from you.
That's how I got it reinstated. They let it go 2 years, told everybody I was discharged but me. They waited until my last eyewitness, Bob, died.
Wow. Something.
I don't know.
It is something. Well, we've got about 7 minutes left in tonight's show. And, you know, I agree with you, Adrian. United we stand, divided we fall. And nobody wants to set the pride aside for just a little bit for the common good of what our glorious union once was. We truly need another Walter and Victor Reuther. You know, we truly do.
Yeah.
Well, we need to take heed of the words of Winston Churchill. Never, ever, ever, ever give up.
I agree.
England would have fallen during World War II if it wasn't for that man's determination. Nobody ever accomplishes anything by giving up.
We need a membership that will come and form as one and stay as one behind one for the right cause. That's our problem.
Yes. Yes. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And, you know, it's not about giving up. It's about getting tired.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you get frustrated. You know that you're trying to do some positive things, or you're saying positive things. You're giving knowledge. You're giving history. And it seems like it's just all for naught.
Yeah. Well, I think prayer works. Over a dozen years ago, I was praying that God would bring the things out to light that were happening in secret in the UAWs. I knew there was something really dirty. Because you don't give management these kind of crazy contracts unless you're stupid or on the take. It all came out.
Well,
it's coming out.
I can say this to you, Paul. They're both.
Yep.
And I wouldn't maybe say stupid, but ignorant. I'd rather say that they're ignorant.
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference between stupidity and ignorance.
Yes, it is.
So watch out who you're complimenting, I'm just saying.
Well, people are born stupid, but they willfully become ignorant.
Yes. So
I mean, you can't hold it against somebody if they have a low IQ. But
no.
They're pretty smart. And remain ignorant, that's a problem.
Yes. I also wanted to bring something up about my Medicare stuff. if you notice, I posted a news article that talked about Medicare scams last week. And I posted it in several groups. One group, which they don't have to worry about me posting anything else in their group, they took my post down saying that I was promoting
drama.
No, it didn't say I was promoting drama, but
that's what they booted. They just booted me out for saying I was promoting drama over it.
Well, they said, oh, I don't know. But anyway, I didn't write the article. I didn't even put, you know how I put those little brief synopses above them or whatever? When I post in when I post in the groups, I don't put anything. I just post the article. Let you make your own mind up. Okay? But to see that in this group and then to look down below and see that they have a person who sells health care and you didn't boot that person. Now, first of all, we shouldn't have a UAW person or in a UAW group of any sort. We shouldn't have people selling health care plans and promoting that they're a salesperson. We
right.
really shouldn't. But they were allowed to do that. But I could, this article telling you to be on alert for this scam. Oh, no. No,
sure.
No. Uh-uh. We can't have that.
Yeah. You're just trying to help people who are unsuspecting or maybe gullible enough to believe something that they read on the internet, you know, that Abraham Lincoln posted, you know,
right.
from the space station, you know, because some folks are old enough that they, like me, are still computer illiterate, and they read this and they think, well, look at that, or it sounds great.
Right.
You told them it sounds great, but it's going to cost you money in the back end, and it may keep you out of the
Viva. This article was telling you all of that. They were telling you the scams that's going on, and it's like, oh, okay, well, so you don't want the people in your group to, you know, be privy to that.
Right.
And so you lost me.
Right. Well, we have about a minute left, so we can pick up and talk about what's happened this week, next week.
Yes.
Right on.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night, everyone. You all have a safe week.
Yeah.
And stay warm.
Exactly. Stay warm. Wear your mask.
Hey, Doc, you having a joke?
What's that?